Hello, and welcome to Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Lita.
I'm Ron.
And I'm a little teapot.
Yes, collectively we are the hosts of Podcast DX.
On today's show, we will be speaking with Mike and Sheila about preterm birth and its potential complications. Sheila and Mike are joining us today from their home near Mesa, Arizona. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thank you.
Hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
I hope all is well. I want to get into this topic. From what I've read, every year, approximately 1 in 10 of all babies born worldwide is preterm. This accounts for approximately 15 million preterm babies born each year.
That's right. And Mike, to start us off, could you tell us exactly when is a baby considered to be premature?
But a baby that is born prior to the 37th week of gestation is considered preterm.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess the Mayo Clinic breaks it down into four categories, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, extremely premature is a child born at or before 25 weeks of pregnancy.
Okay.
A baby born at less than 32 weeks of pregnancy is considered very preterm. And those born between 32 and 34 weeks of pregnancy are considered moderately preterm. The term late preterm is assigned to babies born between 34 and 36 weeks of gestation.
Okay. Sheila, what's a full-time?
Yeah, full-term delivery is anywhere between 37 and 42 weeks of gestation.
Unless you're an elephant. Is it important to know the distinction between those time periods?
Yes, it takes time for the baby's lungs to develop. Their lungs actually continue to develop for approximately 2 years after birth.
Oh, okay.
In addition to premature babies, may like the fat stores to keep themselves warm.
Okay.
They're underdeveloped lungs, and they may lack the reflexes that's for sucking and swallowing, which can lead to feeding difficulties.
Yeah, so there's short-term and long-term complications, right?
Yes, correct.
Hey, Mike and Sheila, how many of your children are preterm?
So the twins, my 5-year-old twins as well as my 11-year-old were preterm. My 11-year-old was actually born at 30 weeks.
Okay.
And my twins were born at 27 weeks.
Wow.
I can't believe that the twins, Sammy and Shreya, are going to be 6 this year. Can you tell us about their difficult journey?
Yes, yeah. So we did have complications before delivery, as well as after they were born, just for the fact that they were so tiny.
And how much did they actually weigh?
Sammy weighed 1 pound, 11 ounces.
Oh, wow.
And Shreya weighed 1 pound, 1 ounce.
Oh, my gosh. That's really tiny.
Wow. Yes. And we did try to delay the birth as much as possible.
Sure.
I would have a ultrasound each day just to check on progress. And once blood flow to my daughter, to Shreya's, through her umbilical cord was going backwards is when they decided that they needed to get the twins out.
Okay, and you were probably on bed rest at this point?
Yes, I was on bed rest in the hospital for over 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh.
How far along were you when you actually delivered the twins?
I was at 27 weeks. I was in the hospital probably, at least 2 months before.
Okay. And what was it like for their first year of life?
It was a roller coaster, to put it lightly, and that's pretty much what any parent goes through as a parent of a preemie. There are so many things to worry about as they're developing, as they're getting stabilized. It's just very different from having a full-term baby.
So they were in the, were they in like a ICU thing or?
Yes, they were in, neonatal ICU. So the NICU is what it's referred to. bed.
Okay.
And they were in there. Shreya was in the NICU for almost 7 months, and Sammy for 17 months.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah, that must have been really hard on the two of you.
And then you still had, and you still had Rishi at home.
Yes.
So you were trying to balance.
We picked him up and took him to the hospital every day during the summer while he was off of school.
Okay.
He'd get up around the clock and head off to the hospital with his mom and be there all day and come home. And I was working at the time, and I needed to take some time off every once in a while when the hospital would call and say he's took a turn for the worse and they didn't know what to expect. So I was always on call and always running out of work and ended up losing my job because of that.
I'm sorry.
So yeah, that's what you're right.
Terrible, terrible. Was the medical staff helpful at all?
Yes, the medical staff were very helpful. They helped us to adjust to this new way of life. Our NICU nurses were the best. They helped us through the hardest and scariest times. I joined the NICU Facebook group where I could ask questions, and moms and dads were more than willing to share their experiences and help me through the journey.
Okay.
When both the twins had their G-tube placed, I did talk to a mom before each of their procedures, and she talked me through it and helped me to understand it better and gave me the strength that I needed to get through both procedures for the twins.
So what is a G-tube? What's that?
G-tube is an alternative way of feeding. It can be for an adult or a child.
Okay.
And you can give a patient enteral feedings is what it's called. Through the G-tube, it's a small incision that goes right into the stomach, and what they call a button is placed in, and it has a balloon on the other end where it sits in place underneath the skin, and you put in an extension where you can feed using either a syringe or a pump that pumps the formula into the patient's stomach.
Okay, because as Mike was describing earlier, children that are extremely preterm might not have the ability to suckle, and so they can't obtain nutrition in a traditional way. So this is an alternative method to make sure that they're getting proper nutrition. Do the kids still have those ports?
Yes, they do. Yeah, they do have the G-tubes, and in both the kids' cases, they were aspirating their feeding, so they were able to suckle.
Okay.
But the feeding, all their either breast milk or formula was going into their lungs and causing pneumonia.
Oh.
And therefore the need to have the G-tubes placed.
Okay. And how long will they have to have those?
Well, Sammy is almost weaned off of his G-tube. He does not like us to feed him through that.
Okay.
He would rather drink. He would rather drink his milk or water. He totally refuses to have us feed him.
Okay.
With G-tube. And Shreya is, very dependent on it. She's 99% tube fed.
Okay.
So it's different with every child.
Yeah, there's no really time frame. It's just when they're ready, they're ready. It's just we try everything for Shreya. We try to give her different textures to put in her mouth. We've had a therapist come to the house and work with her. It's just, I guess, some kids are a little easier than others.
Sure.
They're two other twins. They're completely opposite.
Well, that's good, though.
That's not uncommon.
It's good to have different personalities, for sure.
Oh, sure, yeah, for sure.
And when the babies were in the NICU, were you able to hold them or anything like that?
Yes, yeah. We would glove up. Once we washed our hands thoroughly, we'd glove up, and we were able to hold them, depending on how they were feeling each day.
Sure.
Anywhere from, 2 minutes while they're in the incubator to the nurses helping us to take them out of the incubator, and we would sit and do kangaroo care or skin to skin.
Right.
Yeah, so we could do that for a few hours, 2 or 3 hours, depending on how well they were doing with their oxygen and saturations and other factors.
It sounds like you guys learned an awful lot about medicine throughout this whole process.
Yeah, you get a crash course in all kinds of different aspects of medicine, for sure.
Yeah.
Mike, what was the hardest part for you?
Well, just trying to keep everything together, trying to make sure Sheila was getting off, Richie was getting off, I was going to work, paying the bills. I mean, you know, we were, it was very hectic, and, you know, we ended up losing the house over this deal, but...
I'm sure that's very common.
And we're feeling good about it.
Yeah,
I'm sure that everything that you've gone through is the same thing that other people are going through right now. You know, there's no easy solution. There's nothing that's going to work for everybody. We just don't have that kind of a society. But you did have a lot of family and friend support, which I'm sure helped, right?
Oh, sure. I couldn't have done it without that. I mean, we had a lot of family and friend support. Whenever we needed to run there, or we couldn't bring Richie or something, somebody always jumped in. I've had my sisters come over and make meals when I couldn't be home to do that. But yeah, it was without that, I don't know where I'd be. Like I said, it financially ruined us. And without the support my family and my friends have given us, I really don't know where we'd be.
Yeah. Yeah, I really feel terrible for the parents of preemies that don't have that kind of support. I mean, there are people in this world that just don't have a really close network of family and friends, and they, you know, they're on their own. And
but it does sound like what Sheila was saying about at least the Facebook support group, mm-hmm. that's a great place for everyone to turn. And
the nurses and the NICU.
Right, and the medical staff, it does sound like they're very supportive.
It just seems like it's something to be very overwhelming from the beginning, and without the family support, it is probably more so overwhelming.
Right, especially not knowing, you know, I mean, who's gone through this? Well, you went through it before, but typically who's gone through it before? And, you know, the first time must have been even worse, and the second time you had twins. So it was again worse because... even though you've gone through the preemie thing before, now you've got two of them. But I know for a fact that you wouldn't have given up the experience for anything, right?
Nope, definitely not. We don't regret a day of it.
And you know what? You get used to it, and it's scary at first. When the tube pops out of your belly sometimes, and you freak out. You know, by the third time, you're a pro at it, and it doesn't really matter, and everything's cool.
Right.
Right, or when the ventilator alarms start beeping, you guys are, that's old hat.
Yeah, when his trach comes off.
Oh, jeez.
Well, from the research that we've done, we know that preterm birth can happen to anyone. What are some of the risk factors associated with preterm birth?
There are several known risk factors which may lead to preterm birth. They include, but are not limited to, having already had a previous premature birth, like in my case, or waiting less than 6 months between pregnancies, problems with the mother's blood pressure, diabetes, weight, uterus, cervix, the placenta, or infections of the amniotic fluid, also pregnancy with twins or triplets or other multiples. Another risk factor is in vitro fertilization, which is what we did for all our kids. Stress and trauma doesn't help either, so those are risk factors as well.
Okay.
The best thing a pregnant woman can do is to get regular checkups as directed by your healthcare team, and don't blame yourself whatever you do.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you, Mike and Sheila. We really learned ever so much from your experience, and it sounds like it was well worth it and heartbreaking and stressful and everything wrapped into one. And for our listeners, to keep in mind that November 17th is World Prematurity Day, and November is Prematurity Awareness Month. And because of that, we would like to invite Sheila and Mike back in November for an update on how the children are progressing and hear about year two through today or through the present time. And would that be okay with you two?
Yeah, we'd love to.
Maybe we'll have to actually fly out to Arizona for that one.
Yeah, that would be a lot less stressful than what we're going through here, I tell you.
Yeah, and it will have cooled off.
Than it is now.
Yeah, absolutely. And
perfect time.
You two, we really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. We know that you are extremely busy, but we've really appreciated it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mike and Sheila.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Thanks, Lita and Gene.
Yep.
Right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
And as always, this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you may have heard on this podcast.
Until next time.